Gym Class coming your way here on KGYM. Welcome in at 3:04, Gym Class for a Tuesday here on KGYM, 1600 AM, the main gym, 107.5 FM, the North Gym at Cedar Rapids, and in Iowa City, heard on 106.3 FM. We will talk with Jeff Johnson of the Gazette coming up here in just a little bit. Jeff with a terrific piece in the paper on Sunday. He's been covering the Colonels for 20 years, and look back, a little nostalgia as far as the top players that he has covered in those 20 years. We'll go over that with Jeff, talk a little Colonels baseball. They will play again someday. And talk a little Major League Baseball with JJ coming up here in just a little bit. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, Kyle Mann, the crew assembled and ready to go here on a sunny Tuesday. Not a bad day outside. One more bout. One more. It's going to get kind of nasty in the northern regions of the state of Iowa. Not too bad around here anyway. It will not deter Bowling Night in America. I will guarantee you that already. But then I think we may finally get over this thing. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Well, we've been saying that, and hopefully that'll be the case. But you mentioned the Colonels postponed tonight. First of a three-game series against Beloit, and it doesn't look much better tomorrow.
Looks worse tomorrow.
Yeah.
Hopefully they'll get at least two of those in. If they can't play tomorrow, then they'll try to get a doubleheader, squeeze that in on Thursday. But, man alive, and I know we'll talk with Jeff about this. He wrote in today's paper about it that the Colonels haven't played. Anyone in the Midwest League has not played for a while, it seems. But especially for, you know, the Iowa teams and whatnot. It's getting ridiculous. Getting ridiculous.
What are you doing, Beloit, if you're stuck for 3 days? 319-366-1600 if you have experience with that fine community
the
in
state
Wisconsin.
Line region. Do you go to Rockford? The pearl of the state line region.
Yeah.
Could. I've been through. I've stopped, yes. Been there. I had a specific destination to go to. I really had no free time in Beloit. I have no idea what one does in Beloit, Wisconsin. Let us know via the text line, the Hertzian Stacker Jewelers text line at 319-366-1600. We will talk about some baseball coming up in just a little bit. Gym Class being presented by Third Base Brewery on the corner of Blairs Ferry Road and C Avenue in Cedar Rapids. Third Base challenges you to find better wings in town. Try one of eight flavors, specialty sauce from Sweet Golden Hawk to Red Rocket. And you can stop on by tonight, right after work, pick up some of those wings at Third Base. It's locally owned and operated at the corner of Blairs Ferry Road and C Avenue in Cedar Rapids. Want to mention as well, coming up on Thursday and Friday, we have a terrific prize that Blake Bolden, the director of the Drake Relays, has given us. We are going to have passes for the Friday night session of the Drake Relays coming up. And as you recall from the conversation we had with Blake, that's going to be the night of the Special Invitation 100. 10 of the top runners in the country in that particular event are going to be there at Drake. Hopefully it'll be good weather. Long-term forecast looks promising for the relays, much better than last year. That doesn't take a lot. And so we will have those Friday night Drake Relays session tickets for you coming up on the Thursday and Friday edition of the program. So be sure to tune in, especially on those days. And we like you to tune in always and listen to us ramble on here on the program. Today, it was Coordinator Day down in Iowa City in anticipation of the spring scrimmage coming up on Friday night. Also, the Big Ten Network announced they will stream the scrimmage coming up. Will not be on the main channel, but it will be streamed. as both Phil Parker on the defensive side and also Brian Ferentz on the offensive side met with the media today. And I started off the program by saying that there was a news conference and then a Star Wars movie broke out. Mm-hmm. Well, the reference to that, because it was referenced several times by Brian Ferentz, who apparently is some sort of a Star Wars geek, which is fine. I have no problem with that. That's fine. And he came up with two Star Wars references today during his talk with the media, very interestingly enough.
Yeah, I kind of strayed from football ease, but that's in a way kind of refreshing when he goes down that path. And we'll have some audio on the Todd Bromelkamp show with Alex Kuhn of those two coordinators.
Yeah, Kyle just getting back, Todd just getting back from down in Iowa City, and they'll get that piece together, and we will hear that from you coming up here in just a little bit.
That is the subject of our poll question today at KGYMradio.com, brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. Which unit will be better for the Hawkeyes in 2018? Brian Ferentz's offense or Phil Parker's defense? And as always, we thank Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, next to Home Depot, and behind Taco John's. Today, celebrating its five-year anniversary.
Yeah, happy anniversary.
Specials all day long, and I'm going to duck in later on.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. I will try, but I've got another engagement tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. If I can't, tell them.
I'll send my best wishes.
Yes, tell them thank you.
Jamie, Chris, Nate, and the gang.
Tell them keep up the great work over there. Now go ahead and vote at KGYMradio.com. Anything earth-shattering today? No. Oh, we're missing out on Kyle. This is Kyle's chance to shine here. We're giving him an opportunity every Tuesday to talk about what Kyle learned in Iowa City down at the news conferences. And I was just prefacing your appearance here by saying, again, not anything earth-shattering. No. Two Star Wars references, so that's cool.
Yeah, very cool.
For Brian Ferentz in there. Talked about the linebackers. Phil Parker did a little bit. Brian talked about working with the tight ends and whatnot. So what did you...
Sounds like Amani Jones is the middle linebacker.
That's actually where I was going to start. Okay. I think Amani Jones, it sounds a little bit like, I mean, they're not going to hand him the job at this point yet, but it sounds like Amani Jones is sort of turning some heads or making a name for himself, staking his claim on that spot for sure, which I think has to be exciting to Hawkeye fans, because if you've seen Amani Jones, he's got a body on him. He's a real tank.
He's a physical specimen.
Yeah, and they say that he's really gotten good at, you know, reading a defense or reading the offense, seeing what's being presented to him and getting really good at reacting to that. So that would be an exciting development if they can kind of solidify that middle linebacker spot. But my big takeaway from Phil Parker and the defense was, you know, they're having to replace an entire linebacking core, an NFL cornerback. They've got a lot of pieces to replace, but Phil Parker really doesn't seem all that concerned about it. And one of the things that throughout the spring I think has been mentioned a couple times is that Phil Parker as a coach is really good at taking complex concepts and, you know, getting guys to understand it. He's good at explaining. He's a good teacher in that way. And listening to him talk about it, he doesn't seem overly concerned with having to replace so many guys, because he's not focused on, you know, who's gonna play what spot. At this point in the year, he's really focused on just making sure everybody understands the system, and so almost regardless of who it is, you can put them in and they'll become, you know, at least passable or adequate. And it kind of clicked for me today, his coaching philosophy. If you make sure everybody knows what they're doing, it doesn't so much matter who ends up playing.
Yeah, they're going to be strong on the front defensive line.
Yep,
and AJ Epenesa working at both ends.
Yep,
now apparently gives him some flexibility, and I know I can't remember who it was, but has been moved to the defensive line as well. So that's a deep unit.
Yeah, and he pointed to that and said that that's definitely the strength of the team, which I think pretty much everybody would agree with.
Right, safety is going to be a strength, I think, as well. Mentioned. Javas and Hooker and Geno Stone are there. When Brandon Snyder is your number four guy at safety going into fall camp, I think you're pretty good at safety. You do have to replace Josh Jackson, though, And that's easier said than done at this point. And then Brian Ferentz talked about the offensive line. He says five. They're pretty good at five or six right now. He'd like to have seven or eight, though.
Yep. He made a comment that offensive line depth is never quite where you want it. Like you said, they're about five or six right now. He wants seven or eight. And I guess real quick, before we depart from defense, he didn't commit to anything, but it seemed he slipped up for a quick second, and Phil Parker seemed to indicate that there's been some thought to having Amani Hooker play linebacker a little bit.
Maybe a 4-4-2-5-ish.
Yeah, something like that.
Well, it's the new type of defense.
Mm-hmm.
I know Mark Morehouse talked about that in his Twitter account today. Iowa's been a 4-3 team for, you know, since the Stone Age,
right?
Basically. And they're going to stay 4-3, but sometimes it kind of morphs into a 4-2-5, if you will. So they did talk about that today a little bit.
Yeah, could see some interesting things. And then, yeah, along the line, we found out Levi Paulson's not going to be playing in the spring game, but it's nothing too serious.
Parker Hesse as well.
Yep, Parker Hesse.
Those are the two big ones that will not be playing coming up on Friday night. So I think we're going to see a lot of A.J. Epinesa on Friday night. Left side, right side.
The fans will like that.
They're going to love it. They're going to love it. All right, very good. Thank you, Kyle. Are you going to miss coordinators and assistant coaches talking next Tuesday?
The last couple weeks were more interesting than the first few, but, you know, I'll find a way to survive.
You're going
to
live through it?
Yeah.
It's better than 3 days in Beloit.
And you know what? I got a ticket earlier this spring. I got a ticket for parking.
No!
There was a baseball game. And so I really had to make sure to not get parking tickets. Todd talked all about it. And I filled up the meter today, and it lasted long enough that it had expired by the time I got there. The car to the right of me, the very right, was getting a ticket. So I got there just in the nick of time.
Very good. Very, very good. Kyle Mann, our producer, he was down in Iowa City today. Before we get to Jeff Johnson here and talk some baseball with you coming up here in just a couple of moments or so, a couple of things. Interesting development in the world of NASCAR today with the ride that has been occupied by Landon Cassill. As Landon has had a good couple of weeks on the Monster Energy Cup Series, Starcom Racing, and they will be heading off not this Sunday, but the next Sunday to Talladega Super Speedway for the Geico 500. And Starcom Racing announced today driving the 00 for that particular race is going to be one Joey Gase. I don't want to say our other driver from Cedar Rapids, but another driver from Cedar Rapids, been on the Xfinity Series, will drive both. He's going to do double duty that weekend. Landon's done a great job, and as Jeremiah Davis put it, I got to make sure that I get this absolutely dead on here. He tweeted out, "Whoop! It just got awkward in Cedar Rapids." So one Cedar Rapids driver for another. I think this has a lot to do with the fact that Joey's going to bring Sparks Energy into the equation for that particular race.
Mm-hmm.
And whether you like it or not, in the world of racing, if you bring a sponsor, just like they had in the celebrated movie Days of Thunder, we got a sponsor. You bring a sponsor, you're going to get a seat more than likely.
Well, Joey's done nice in the Xfinity Series. He had a top 20 last week, and you mentioned Landon. He was guaranteed two races. The first race ended in mechanical failure and finished last, and then he was 21st in Texas. And he backed that up with 20th in Bristol, and that was Starcom Racing's best finish ever.
Right.
And Landon will be in the seat this week at Richmond, but as far as Talladega goes, it's going to be Joey Gase, and I think that has everything to do with the sponsorship.
And I think you'll see Landon back in there.
Mm-hmm.
After that particular race, and quite frankly, a lot of people don't really mind missing Talladega if you'd ask them, because of everything that could happen there with the Super Speedway restrictor plate races et cetera.
That's where Landon has really excelled, though, between Daytona and Talladega.
You're right.
He's really run well on those racetracks.
Yeah, you're right about that. 319-366-1600. News of the day right there. We're going to take a break, come back, and we're going to talk and check in with Jeff Johnson of the Cedar Rapids Gazette. He's actually on his way to Iowa City for the Iowa Hawkeye baseball midweeker against Northern Illinois. So we'll talk about the Colonels. We'll talk about the Hawkeyes a little bit. We'll talk some Major League Baseball with Jeff Johnson after this.
Linn County Rural Electric Cooperative is committed to providing electricity that's reliable, cost-effective, and sustainable. Did you know nearly 60% of their electricity comes from emission and carbon-free resources? That minimizes the impact on our natural environment, which is good for everybody. How does Linn County REC do this? With their generation mix. It's a diverse fuel mix of coal, nuclear, hydro, landfill gas generation, wind, solar, natural gas, and oil energy resources. When Linn County REC members switch on a light or the computer, they know they're using more sustainable and environmentally friendly power. And with such a variety of energy sources in the mix, it also means increased reliability across a broad spectrum of conditions, including severe weather here in Iowa. The generation mix is good stuff, and just another one of the benefits of membership with Linn County Rural Electric Cooperative.
Before a lot of breweries knew the difference between a hop and a scotch, we were already creating our now classic beers. At Third Base Brewery, we've been refining our brews for over 20 years with perfection in every pour. And our All Your Favorites with a Few Surprises menu is just as tempting. That's why people always come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop in, Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and C Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
Attention motorcyclists! The all-new Star Eluder V-Twin Bagger from Yamaha has arrived at Sun & Fun Motorsports, and it's redefining the category with a whole new level of performance, comfort, technology, and style. It starts with a huge, all-new 113 cubic inch fuel-injected V-Twin engine with 6-speed transmission, plus tons of exclusive and class-leading features like comfortable heated rider and heated passenger seats, plus heated rider backrest, drive mode and traction control for incredible acceleration and handling on varying roads, adjustable handlebar for a tailored fit, heated grips, full-featured infotainment system with 7-inch LCD color touchscreen, Bluetooth wairless, AM-FM radio, and twin fairing mounted stereo speakers. Huge locking saddlebags with remote plus much more. Visit YamahaMotorsports.com for details. Then visit Sun & Fun Motorsports to see the all-new Star Eluder. It eludes conformity and everything else. Sun & Fun Motorsports, 155 Escort Lane Southwest in Iowa City. Dress properly for your ride with a helmet, eye protection, riding jacket, or long-sleeve shirt, long pants, gloves, and boots. Do not drink and ride. It is illegal and dangerous.
Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the gym class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
One in five Iowans lives with a disability. A gift to Easter Seals Iowa helps individuals with an intellectual, developmental, or physical disability, autism, or mental illness get the training they need to live, learn, work, and play. Please donate at disabilityia.org today. Easter Seals Iowa, turning disabilities into possibilities. Sponsored by Easter Seals Iowa and aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
.322 back with you on the gym class Tuesday here on KGYM. Caddy Smack comes up tomorrow. We're going to talk about the Krandic Tour. Brian Haas, of course, will be here to answer your questions and also wrap up the Masters. That'll be coming up on the Wednesday edition of the program. Of course, shortly after we went off the air yesterday, we learned that, I don't know, it was a TV icon, but man alive, was he terrific. As Harry the Hat on Cheers and then as Judge Harry Stone on Night Court. Harry Anderson passing away way too early. I think, what, 67, 65, 67, I want to say. And, man, underrated guy as far as an actor is concerned, especially television side of things, and he will be missed out there. I loved Night Court.
I like the show. Big fan of Marky Post. John Larroquette was funny.
It was a terrific cast.
Yeah.
It was a great cast. Who didn't like Marky Post? Guy that I watched a few episodes with our next guest of Night Court. That is Jeff Johnson of the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Follow him on Twitter, JJ66, and then follow him at thegazette.com as well. We watched some Night Court episodes together, man.
Yeah, I think that was, we had a ritual down when we were college roommates, didn't we? It was, seems to be Night Court, maybe Cheers.
MASH.
Maybe a little Dukes of Hazzard thrown in there, too, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
I want to know who between you two was ever late on rent payments.
I think we were all good, weren't we?
We were never late because our other roommate would never see to that.
That's right. That's exactly right. Yeah, he became an accountant by trade, so that's all you need to know about that.
Who was the cook of the group?
Nobody.
None of us. No, I seem to remember Scott made hamburger helper one. And I think it stayed in the refrigerator through the entire semester after that.
Well,
it was turned moldy and green and...
Yes, it was actually, I think, winter break. I made it just ahead of when we left, and then 2 weeks later we came back, and yeah, that was a bad move. That was a bad move. None of us are going to be cooks anytime soon. Well, let's start with the Colonels, and man alive, they're going to play a game someday. It's not going to be tonight, might not be tomorrow. Nothing like 48 hours of free time in Beloit, Wisconsin, is there?
No, at the Road Dog, the Roadway Inn. That's where everybody stays out there. So that's the nickname for it, the Road Dog. It's not the Hilton, let's put it that way. But someday they might play again. I'm not sure when, but this will be 4 days off, freezing rain and snow over there tomorrow. So I'm very sure they won't get any games in tomorrow. So that'd be five straight days without a game. And, I mean, these kids got to be going a little stir-crazy, right? I know I would be.
Yeah, you would think so. And you talked to Toby Gardenhire in the paper today, Jeff. And one of the problems is, as a result, doubleheaders stack up. What does that mean for a minor league team?
They'll be playing a lot of baseball.
Yeah.
In May, more than likely.
Pitching staff-wise, I guess, more than anything.
Yeah. Those are 7 innings instead of 9 innings, so that helps some. But, certainly it's going to tax your pitching staff if you have those lined up at a fairly regular line. But, I mean, they can get help from – I mean, there's plenty of guys down there in extended spring training that they can bring up or to help out. And, you know, you can maybe place a guy on what they call the phantom disabled list, the phantom DL for 7 days with a hangnail or something like that if you need to. And so, they'll get, as you mentioned, I mean, they'll get through it. Everybody's kind of in the same boat. Cedar Rapids and Burlington have kind of been in a worse or a leakier boat, if you will, because they've played the fewest amount of games of anybody in the league so far. So, let's get rid of this weather and start playing some baseball, some tennis, some golf. I mean, this is getting ridiculous.
Yeah. Jeff, when I was on the beat, I can remember openers and maybe the second game of the year. You get some snow, but it quickly bounced back. Is this the worst spring that you've experienced?
Boy, Mark, I think so. And I think by quite a ways. It's like you said, I mean, that first week or so, you kind of expect things to happen. But, I mean, it's just been so persistently cold, you know. I mean, we're talking 20s, record lows type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Then you throw snow and all that stuff in there about every 3-4 days. I mean, it's I know everybody around Eastern Iowa is real tired of this stuff, and I think probably what will happen is we'll go from this straight to like 90 degrees, right?
Well, you would think that'd be the case, but at least looking in the next 2 weeks, and you know that could change at the drop of a hat. But at any rate, 60s. So that would be a welcome change to what we. To what we have right now, anyway. So that would be a big, big help. This team was on a big time roll when they were playing, anyway. Only one loss to date, anyway, with a whole bunch of games postponed. But we talked last week about the fact that this team had a lot of talent on it, and they're playing like they have a lot of talent on it.
Yeah, you know what, 6-1 record, and got shut out, I guess, in their last game, which was all the way back Friday night, 2-0 to Clinton, but really hitting the ball well. You know, it seems like it'd be one of those teams that can just go off offensively at the drop of a hat and really put up some crooked numbers. And that's kind of been the big thing for this team. You know, the pitching's been starting pitching's been pretty decent overall. The bullpen's been, you know, okay. But, you know, for the most part, I think the offense and, you know, being able to post some pretty good numbers in innings is really kind of been the big thing for this team in the early going. And, you know, who knows what we're going to get when they play again after having pretty much a week off. So let's find out.
You're in Iowa City to watch the Iowa Hawkeyes against Northern Illinois, and I don't know that you're necessarily there to report so much on the game, but this Iowa Hawkeye team, 6-4 in the Big Ten, in contention again, and really another strong season so far.
Yeah, for sure. And I was just looking at the Big Ten standings. They're 6-4, and I think that's like sixth place if I saw right.
Yeah,
which is kind of crazy. Michigan, I think, is 9-0, and some other teams are off to really, really good starts. But, yeah, you know, I mean, you can't say enough about the job Rick Heller's done here. I mean, the expectation is to win now, and that's exactly what this program is doing. I mean, he's they're producing victories. They're, you know, not only qualifying for the Big Ten tournament now, but winning it. They're going to regionals. I mean, they've got I counted up last weekend. I think they've got 10 former Iowa Hawkeyes that are playing in pro ball right now. So, I mean, what more do you want? Obviously, the next step probably would be to compete and maybe to win a Big Ten regular season championship. But, you know, this team is certainly is. I think they had one stretch up over at UNLV where they didn't play very well and got swept 3 games. But other than that, they've consistently played good baseball and clutch baseball. They seem to come up with the hits when they really need them and the outs pitching-wise when they really need them. So it'll be exciting to see, you know, they go up to Minnesota this weekend. How many of those games are they going to get in? You know, that's just kind of the way it's been working out so far this spring.
Yeah. The next 2 weekends are going to tell a lot about this Iowa baseball season because they play the top 2 teams in the Big Ten. Minnesota coming up this weekend, and then Michigan at home coming up the following weekend, and then have a big non-conference series against Oklahoma State the following weekend. So I think those 3 series are going to go a long ways to determine how this season's going to be remembered in 2018.
Yeah, I would agree. And, you know, I mean, if you can – I mean, it's just win games and get into the tournament somehow. And if you can get into the tournament – you know, anybody can get hot and play well over a weekend and win that thing. And then you find yourself in, you know, back in a regional. So, I mean, that's kind of the way I would imagine that the boys are taking it or looking at it right now. And, you know, we'll see how it goes. But they've had some good pitching. Nick Allgaier's been great. 7 straight quality starts from a kid who missed all last season with Tommy John surgery. So he's kind of emerged as an ace. And, you know, they've just got some things going. Former Cedar Rapids Kennedy Prep Zach Daniels has been lights out of the bullpen. So be interesting to see, you know, maybe if he gets drafted, you know, in June by a major league club.
Yeah, you and others saw Daniels in high school, and I wondered what your observation was from what you saw in high school to what you see now, because I really think he's positioned himself to be one of those next pro players from Iowa.
Yeah, and I got into a spat maybe with some Kennedy folks back in the day. He pitched against Mitch Keller, I think in the Metro Tournament Championship when both those kids were seniors.
Mm.
And Zach, you know, everybody all had all the pro scouts there to see Mitch, and Zach just outpitched him. And I think I wrote something to the effect of, you know, the comparative soft tosser at the time, which he was the kid who was the better pitcher, and they took offense to it, and there was a whole big hullabaloo. But for a little kid, and Scott, you can back this up. He is a very slight young man.
Oh yeah,
what is about 6 foot, 160 pounds maybe. it's just amazing that he, out of that body can come consistent 90, 91, 92 mile an hour fastballs. And, you know, I know how much he loves the game, and he's done a great job in his career so far at Iowa. And I think he's set himself up to, you know, to have a professional opportunity. There's no question about that. That's awesome.
Little Billy Wagner going there, comparison. I think you.
Yeah, I said that to Rick Heller earlier in the season. He said, yeah, but I think he mentioned Billy. Billy had, like, legs that were like tree trunks. So he had he always had a solid base from which to come from. And but you know what? Some guys are just gifted and blessed to be able to throw a baseball hard. And, you know, Zach's certainly one of those kids.
Very much so. Well, Sunday, we enjoyed your piece about covering the Colonels for 20 years. And you put together your all-star team of the top players at each position that you have seen over 20 years. And I think you did pretty good, man. I think you can win a few games with this group.
yeah.
I think it won't take a genius to manage this team either. how much fun was that? And, you know, how hard was it? You know, to go back through everything. I imagine you keep a lot of notes and you keep a lot of papers, etc. And or did you get a lot of feedback from, hey, what about this guy? I don't know. Just kind of take us through it a little bit.
Yeah, you know, I asked for a little feedback from anybody that wanted to give some, certainly. And you know, I kind of had a rough draft of a team to begin with, and I ran that by someone, and, you know, they thought it was pretty decent, and I think that's pretty close to the one that I ended up going with. But, I mean, it was pretty obvious, I think, if you look at the guys. And third base was the only position, and one of the outfield spots were really the only two positions where it was really tough to find, I don't know if worthy is the right word, but, you know, to find guys. And, you know, yeah, just a lot of talent. It was fun to kind of go back and you know, remember a lot about moments and players. And, you know, I can tell you stories off the record about some of these guys. And, you know, but yeah, I mean, this was a pretty good baseball team. There's no question. And certainly, you know, in another 5 years when you get more, it'd be a longer period of time here with the Twins or – certainly those teams might change, but you know what, I'll take these nine guys and run with them and take my manager, Jake Maurer, and see if we can win some ball games against people, huh?
I know you had some, maybe a little difficulty at that third outfield spot. You settled on Randall Grichuk, right?
Yeah.
And yeah. Who were you debating there?
You know, it was just really tough. I thought about Max Kepler a little bit, just because we didn't have very many Twins guys on that team. But,
mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think maybe he's established himself fully yet. But, you know, to look at it, I mean, Randall had, what, 20 some, he's hit 20-plus home runs and back-to-back seasons here. I mean, he was a first-round draft pick. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, I know he's really struggling so far this season with Toronto, but – you know, he's had a pretty good career, and I don't think it's close to being finished yet. So, you know, that's pretty good, though, when you think about it. Him and Trout went back-to-back in the same draft. So to come out with two players like that, including one that arguably is the best in baseball, that the Angels kind of nailed it that year, huh?
Yeah, not bad. Not bad.
Going back to weather, JJ, our Twins haven't played – till Thursday, and now I see it's raining like hell in San Juan.
Is that right?
I don't know for how long, but my goodness.
Nobody
this is crazy.
Nobody can catch a break.
And, you know, they had to be so happy just to get the heck out of Minnesota.
Yeah.
With snow up there and everything. So, yeah, that's just fitting. A lot of doubleheaders upcoming, Mark. A lot of doubleheaders.
Yeah, sure. Or no off days for the Minnesota Twins. Of course, you can catch them on 107.5 FM. You went over your memories as well in your 20 years of covering baseball, both at the old stadium and at the new stadium a little bit. And I chuckled over some of them. The one I remember, though, see if this rings a bell for you, would be the playoff game, the big comeback in the ninth inning from, what, 7 or 8 down or something like that to win, I think, a first-round playoff game. And it was, a walk-off home run that did it. And the thing I remember is that I was calling the game back on KCRG, and John Rogers hyperventilated. And I had to step in the middle of his call and take over.
That was 98. That was actually the first year before, or the year before I started the beat full time. It was Rob Sasser. That's right.
Rob Sasser. That's who it was. Yep.
Yeah, because I remember Mike Kulbeck, who was such a great mentor for me with professional baseball, because he did such a great job over the years prior. He was covering, I think, Iowa State football at the time, and then they played the next night down in Burlington in Game 2, and Ortiz, help me out, boys, pitched a long time. Ramon Ortiz. Yeah, he went down there and threw like a one-hitter the next night against Burlington to finish off that series. So I do remember that. And I remember hearing the call of the big rally in the ninth inning out of nowhere. And, that definitely would have been on the list had it come a year later. But a lot of fun memories, people reminded me of stuff after this ran of things like, oh yeah, I remember that, you know, oh yeah, I remember that, you know, it's darn. I wish I could have had a list of maybe 20 most memorable moments or something like that.
I like the phantom call at first base.
Yeah. the umpire, you mean the
yeah,
umpire?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember that.
That's like the quintessential minor league baseball.
Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't last very long after that either, as you mentioned.
No, and the thing was that he knew that the umpire, who intentionally blew the call, knew that Tyrone Boykin was Mike, because they talked about it during the lineup card exchange. Just to let you know, Tyrone was like, hey, you know, just to let you guys know, I'm Mike for a game, for a story on TV, and the umpire says, oh yeah, maybe you and me should just get into it during the middle of the game and give him something good or something like that. Well, you know, he gave him something more than good. So
yeah, very much so. Yeah, it's a shame that you only went back 20 years, because you missed out on Emil Dursaich playing first base. But
there we go. There's a blast from the past.
Yes, it is. Yeah,
my favorite, Esky Vilt.
Esky Vilt.
Esky Vilt. Yeah.
You know, JJ, that was a time that I don't know if you ever experienced it, but whoever's covering the game for the Gazette was the official scorer as well.
Yeah.
And I hated it, because Vilt's committed at least an error every game. And every time I went into the clubhouse, he'd complain. Yeah, that wasn't an error. You know, well, talk to your pitcher. See if he thinks it's an error. And I always hated that, covering a game and being official scorer.
So did they give you like $20 or something to be the official score at the time, Mark?
You know, I don't remember for sure, but we had these long forms from How News Bureau you had to fill out by hand. And
wow.
And it was more than just covering the game, but I still had fun, except for Esky Viltz.
Is Esky local?
No, he claimed to be the little boy on the beach in the intro to Hawaii 5-0.
Oh, really?
Yes. And I don't know that I ever confirmed that. I wrote about it, but I don't know that I ever confirmed
it. The old Hawaii 5-0.
The original Hawaii
5-0. The original Hawaii 5-0. Yeah. Things you learn on the gym class by listening. TV trivia.
See, isn't that the great part of minor league baseball, though, Mark?
Great stories.
Stories like this, you know, it's unbelievable.
Oh, brother.
Well, there's a few Rob Double stories that couldn't be told.
And I heard a lot of them. The one night he was back. The second night he didn't want to talk. First night he was back, he was the life of the party. So he was telling us everything he did. He did everything but swim in the Emperor's moat the first time he was here.
I wonder if he still got Ichiro's name tattooed on his butt. Didn't he do that back in the radio?
Oh, yeah. Oh, he did some strange and wild things back in the day right there. All right. Well, we'll let you go and get ready for to cover the Hawkeyes in Northern Illinois. They're going to play, so that's good news. And that'll be coming up here in just a little bit down at Duane Banks Field. And always fun talking baseball with you, Jeff.
Absolutely. You do it all day. Thanks a lot, boys. Appreciate it.
All right. Yep. Jeff Johnson of the Gazette. Read his stuff at thegazette.com. Also, give him a follow on Twitter. And I know he was on one of his tweets. It was interesting. And I know Todd and Alex talked about yesterday. In fact, the poll question was in reference to baseball. I mean, what's going wrong with baseball so far this year? And Jeff retweeted a very interesting article from CBS Sports over the weekend that one of the reasons is that there's just lack of activity as far as baseball is concerned. This year could be, if the trend continues, the first year where one-third of each at-bat does not result with a ball put into play.
Mm-hmm. The trend's been going up for the last few years.
Strikeout percentage is going up and walk percentage is going up. Now, do they cancel each other out? I don't know. Because walk obviously puts a base runner on, but there's the one thing they do have in common is that a ball is not put into play. Whether it's a home run, whether it's a ground out, whether, you know, God forbid you're moving a runner along or whatever the case may be. But interesting that that perspective was given, and I really hadn't heard that perspective talked about
a whole
lot.
How much do you think that that has to, that relates to the advent of specialization in the bullpen? You got a sixth inning guy, seventh
well, I think
inning
there's
guy,
a lot
eighth
of
inning
it.
Guy, ninth inning guy.
I think a lot of it has to do with it, especially the strikeout quotient on that, but interesting. And I'd like to comment on that. Love to hear from you at 319-366-1600 on the Hurtina Stocker Jewelers text line out there. All right, we're going to take a break. Come back 345. More of the Gym Class for Tuesday coming up after this here on KGYM.
Is the car you're driving 2012 or newer? If so, here's something you need to know. Today's newer engines run hotter, making them more vulnerable to carbon buildup, which could affect engine performance. Protect your engine with new Valvoline Modern Engine Full Synthetic, specially formulated to protect cars built 2012 or newer from carbon buildup. Learn more at modernoil.com. Valvoline, since 1866. Visit AutoZone now. Buy 5 quarts of Valvoline Modern Engine Full Synthetic and an oil filter for $39.99. See store for restrictions and details.
As a small business owner, you're juggling it all, including customers' calls from your personal phone. But with Grasshopper, you get a business phone number and a business phone system from our mobile app so you can work smarter, not harder. Grasshopper forwards calls, texts, even transcribes voicemails. Everything you need to simplify your business and stay responsive. With Grasshopper, there's no long-term contracts and customer support is 24/7. Whether you're starting or growing your business, Grasshopper is the answer. Now get $20 off your first month when you visit grasshopper.com/radio.
O'Reilly. The weather's getting warmer, and that means it's time to start working on your yard. Right now at O'Reilly Auto Parts, pick up a SuperStart lawn and garden battery starting at $24.99. Springtime means yard work, so stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts for a SuperStart lawn and garden battery you can count on. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball season is in full swing. The NBA and NHL playoffs are underway, and SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to every game. SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. With the SeatGeek app, you can be anywhere, and with just a few taps, you can instantly find seats. Best of all, our listeners get $20 off their first SeatGeek purchase. Just download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code CANE today. That's promo code CANE for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase.
Our thanks to Jeff Johnson of the Gazette for joining us here on the Gym Class on KGYM. Caddy Smack coming up tomorrow. Looking forward to that. Thursday, Smokin' Dave Kochan will join us. Tom Kagan on Friday as we preview the Iowa spring scrimmage. Winter weather coming for tonight and into tomorrow. Winter weather warning in effect for Cedar Rapids and North. Winter weather advisory, Iowa City, that line of counties right there over to Des Moines and over to the Quad Cities. We're thinking 1 to 3 inches. That's what the meteorologists are saying. And then hopefully it turns around.
It's white rain.
Thank you, Mark. When we play at Veterans Memorial Stadium with Colonels baseball on Friday night, it's going to be another Z102.9 Mug Club night. Yours truly, along with some of the members of the Z Street team and Carol Kelly, are going to be out there. So stop on by the Z102.9 keg station in front of Section 106. Please tip your bartenders, of which I will be one, accordingly, because the tips are going to go to the Last Hope Animal Rescue.
Perfect.
So that is a great, great organization right there. So that's what we are going to have.
Can you pour a beer with a perfect head?
I'm going to darn well try. I was good at it.
It's about a half a thumb, okay?
Half a thumb? Okay. I will, and it's supposed to be a pretty decent night. 50s? That's okay. That's going to be balmy compared to what it's been lately. It's also Royce Lewis bobblehead giveaway night. The first 1,000 nice. Fans Friday night are going to pick up a bobblehead of the number one overall draft choice, Royce Lewis.
Nice.
So we may have a pretty good crowd, I got to think, coming up. There might be a few people might want me to grab one or two. We'll see. The Colonels take on the Kane County Cougars this Friday night. That will be at 6:35. We're also going to be registering people to see Hairball at the ballpark on June the 9th.
You got a story coming out of Ann Arbor, don't you?
I do. Michigan announced today that the Big House is going to host a soccer match. The Premier League, Mark. Manchester United, I think they just won the thing. But the thing never stops, so do we really know? It's going to be Manchester United taking on Liverpool, and that's going to be played at Michigan Stadium, the home of the Michigan Wolverines, the Big House.
You have a date?
I can find the date for you.
My question was, how many people would attend? You know, the Big House.
Oh, I think it's going to be just about full.
Put more than 100,000 people in there, but I'm pretty sure they need to renovate some things or move some things, because a soccer pitch,
very good, Mark.
Officially, by according to FIFA, is between 110 and 120 yards long. That's not a problem because the end zones will take care of that. But 70 to 80 yards wide, whereas a football field, as you know, is 53 and a third.
Right.
So I don't know exactly how that's going to work, but obviously they've thought about it, and it's going to happen. When?
July 28th.
Okay.
And it's part of the International Champions Cup, and it's going to be the third time Michigan Stadium has played host. They had Real Madrid and Manchester United back in 2014. 109,318 were there, Mark. 105,826 in 2016 when Real Madrid played Chelsea. So this is going to it's going to draw everybody for Liverpool and Manchester United coming up. So, yeah.
Maybe Kyle would be inclined to go. He's a soccer fan, but I'm not going to go anywhere and watch a 1-0 match in the middle of July.
1-0.
It's a soccer pitch, and it's nil, right?
There you go. You got it all. You're doing it. You're getting there. You got it all taken care
of. Manchester has two teams, does it not?
It does, I believe.
Man U and...
Just, I think, soccer aficionado. But there you go.
Interesting.
If the Twins play tonight in Puerto Rico, because it's raining in San Juan right now, we will join that game in progress coming up at 7 o'clock tonight on 107.5 FM. As the Twins scheduled to take on the Cleveland Indians. These are Twins home games. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So, man alive. You escape. The Twin Cities got from 15 to 24 inches of snow, depending on where you were located. And they thought, great, let's get to San Juan, Puerto Rico, and start over again. And now the tarp is on the field, and it is raining cats and dogs.
Both teams have Puerto Ricans on the team, which is really nice.
Francisco Lindor.
Jose Barrios, who will start tomorrow for the Twins.
Well, that's going to be neat.
Yeah.
We'll have tomorrow's game. Join it at 7 o'clock as well, right after the Todd Brommelkamp show with Alex Coons.
So. Byron Buxton out tonight with a migraine.
I hope they get things in. We did have one text on the text line, the Hurtian & Stocker Jewelers text line, about, we mentioned last Friday, Central DeWitt, Todd's alma mater,
yes,
has requested to join the Mississippi Athletic Conference. And we had a texter inquire with us.
Seeking more information.
Has anything since last Friday come of that? No. The administrators have to get together. They will talk, and then eventually they will vote. It'll be by the end of the year, though. Nothing as new since last Friday has been put out.
So the result of Burlington going to what, the Southeast?
Burlington's going to the Southeast Conference, yes. And so Central DeWitt jumped, and they want to join the MAC, mainly for, reading Matt Koss's piece in the Quad City Times, mainly monetary. Because DeWitt is at the far eastern side of the WAMAC, and they got to go trips to South Tama, to Benton Community,
yeah,
Williamsburg, places like that. Be a lot closer to join the MAC, so... And you're going to see that more and more. With football now in districts, used to be football kind of drove conference alignments. Don't have that anymore because the state tells you where you're going to go play.
Mm-hmm.
So 3A's and 4A's can intermix a little bit more, I think. So we may see it right there.
Thanks to Wiggy in Iowa City on the text line, Manchester United and Manchester City.
Oh, I'm sorry. Manchester City. I'm learning. UNI women's golf team, by the way, coming back to finish second in the Missouri Valley Conference Golf Tournament. So great for them. We'll have Caddy Smack coming up tomorrow for you. Going to take a break, come back, wrap things up on the Tuesday edition of Gym Class right after this.
Get everything you need for your projects during Menards Spring Catalog Sale. Menards offers a wide selection of FVP automotive products that have what you need to keep your vehicle running smoothly. Stay Tuned Multi-System Additive gives your vehicle a cleaner engine and improves gas mileage. Plus, it works on all on-road, off-road, marine, and lawn and garden applications. A bottle is $3.99. Get Spring Catalog Savings now through April 29th. Plus, Menards gift cards are perfect for Mother's Day.
Save big money at Menards.
Had a couple of drinks watching today's game? Should you be behind the wheel? Buzzed driving is drunk driving. It's easy to tell when someone has had too much to drink. But what about when someone has too many to drive? The legal limit in Iowa is .08, and law enforcement is cracking down on all drivers behind the wheel and over the limit. Don't underestimate your limit. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the Iowa Department of Public Safety, Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau, and your local law enforcement.
Come party, drink, and dance on the Miller Lite dance floor at Zevena 2.9 Prom. It's everything you liked about high school prom.
Without all the rules.
If you're 21 or over, get your tickets now for $20.
Cash only.
At Theater Cedar Rapids, both Elevate Salon and Spa locations, Culver's Garden Center and Greenhouse, and Hurtian & Stocker Jewelers. Party it up on the Miller Lite dance floor Saturday, April 28th during Zevena 2.9 Prom at the Doubletree by Hilton in downtown Cedar Rapids. Tickets are going quick. Get them now.
There are still companies that care, companies that have your back, companies that provide stability for you and your family. PMX Industries in Cedar Rapids is one of those companies. You can start at $17.27 an hour with great benefits you'd expect from a company that treats you like family. Sometimes it's the small things like holiday parties, summer picnics, and movie parties that speak volumes about your work family. Learn more about the PMX family at ipmx.com.
Back with you on the Gym Class to wrap things up. Poll question brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. And Mark, tell us about that.
Yep, which unit will be better for the Hawkeyes in 2018? Brian Ferentz's offense or Phil Parker's defense? Go ahead and vote at KGYMradio.com. And if you're inclined, stop into Emil's and wish them a happy fifth anniversary today.
Absolutely, absolutely. We'll hear from the two coordinators, Brian Ferentz and Phil Parker, coming up during the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, and that will come up between 4 o'clock and 7 o'clock right here on KGYM. Twins baseball still on as of the present time. Hopefully the rain will stop in Puerto Rico and then get the first two down there going.
I hear they have good ground screws in Puerto Rico, so.
I'll go with that.
I'm kidding.
They're going to try to get these two games in, though.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to try to get... They're not going back to Puerto Rico. Let's just say that. All right. Thank you for joining us. Talk to you tomorrow.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. You know, I believe buying a home is almost always a better idea than renting. But if the fear of a big down payment is holding you back, I've got some good news. Today, the average down payment for first-time home buyers is a lot less than 20%. And here's the best part. Our mortgage experts at Quicken Loans can help you find a variety of